Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Section A. Board votes to change name of Lee High School. Trustees vote 6-1 to change school name, by Stuart Doreen. The Midland ISD Board voted Monday to change the name of Robert E. Lee High School. The board made the historic change by a vote of 6-1 that starts the process to rename the senior high school and the Robert E. Lee Freshman High School. The senior high school opened in 1961 and is approaching its 60th anniversary. Board member Brian Murray attempted to table the issue so more information could be known. He had questions about the petition that started the latest push to rename the school. Murray's entire representative area is in the Lee District, and he called the Lee High School students, parents, and supporters family. He said there were no races but brothers and no nationalities but sisters. Murray also said the decision goes against what he learned in the November bond election, that Midland ISD families and the community expected better communication. He said all the social media he saw supported the name remaining the same. But the motion to table didn't receive a second. Board members wanted to vote on the item, and the numbers quickly showed support for the issue. John Kennedy said there were important things for the board to consider, but the Lee High School name issue was taking away from the board advancing on those issues. Robert Marquez said Lee was on the wrong side of history, and he wanted to move forward, addressing systemic racism and being on the right side of history. John Trischetti III called the vote a values issue and said the board needed to put an end to this divisive issue and work toward solutions in those areas that positively impact academics. James Fuller made the motion and talked about issues of equality in education and his representation of students as well as parents and people in his district. Tommy Bishop seconded the motion. He said his decision was about having the children's best interests at heart and that no matter the decision, the school's history will not change. The vote ended a period of conversation around the community that included calls for change from prominent alumni, such as former Railroad Commissioner Michael Williams and former NFL Players Association President Eric Winston, and community leaders, City Council members John Norman and Lori Blong, and MISD Board President Rick Davis. Courtney Ratliff started a petition in June that brought up the need for a name change. His petition had more than 10,300 supporters as of Monday evening. The board's vote followed a vote in the East Texas city of Tyler, where the board there voted to change the name of its Robert E. Lee High School. In the past few years, boards in San Antonio and Houston also made the decision to change the name of their Robert E. Lee High Schools. Midland ISD was not the only holdout. A Robert E. Lee High School still exists in Baytown. Midland's Robert E. Lee High School is the only one where the mascot is the Rebel. Midland ISD administration has made changes to the Confederate iconography and culture at the school, including the decision to stop playing Dixie as part of the school song in 2017, and the decision to ban the use of the Confederate flag at MISD contests. Public forum speakers overwhelmingly support change, by Stuart Doreen. A vast majority of those weighing in at the Midland ISD board meeting called for the change of Robert E. Lee High School. Of the 22 speakers, 17 took the time to sign up for comment, and offer to the board their thoughts that the process of changing the name should start immediately. Three spoke for the name to remain the same, and two others called for Robert E. to be removed from the name and that the school just be called Lee High School, or Midland Lee. The board voted 6-1 later in the meeting to change the name of the senior high school and freshman high school. The process included at least 10 people who claimed to be graduates of Lee High School. 8 of those spoke in favor of the change, as did the first 9 speakers. Speakers included a number of former football standouts, Josh Norman, Isaac Garnett, Gary Butler, and Taylor Nunez. There were prominent graduates, such as Dr. Allegra Legrand, a research scientist and member of Lee High School class of 1997. Blake Stanford is a former student council president at Lee and currently a member of the Board of Trustees at Southwestern University in Georgetown. Stanford addressed the shame of having a Robert E. Lee High School. Legrand hoped for a more aspirational figure, and Norman dreamed of every student to be free of oppression. Butler and Nunez called for the name to remain. Nunez, who played football at Texas Tech, called for the board not to succumb to cancel culture. "Jesus Christ is the only person without faults," he said. 2 members, including the founder of the group Christians for a Change, issued their call for a name change, as did John Love III, a former city councilman and former president of the Texas Municipal League. A teacher at Midland High and graduate of Lee, Adam Villarreal was one of multiple people to credit Courtney Ratliff for creating a petition and starting the latest push to call for a name change. Allison Brown said the current name was a result of a racialized decision with racial implications. Lee was named not long after Supreme Court's Brown versus Board of Education decision. Clint Williamson, one of many parents of MISD students to speak, said it was time to correct the steps from the past. Robert Bills IV, Felicia Russell, and Elise Jackson offered comments that the Lee name, the band's previous playing of Dixie, the previous flying of the rebel flag, and the school's mascot were reminders of oppression and put the high school and city in a negative light. It was even asked of the board to consider what kind of culture it was trying to maintain. Mike White said the most recent MISD election was proof of how many people wanted to go to Robert E. Lee High School and wear a badge of pride and be rebels. Lastly, there were 2 people who cited costs and the notion that many students don't even know who Robert E. Lee was as reasons to drop Robert E. but call the school Lee High School. They said that is how most people relate to the school. Court Votes Down Raises for Elected Officials by Caitlin Randall. After discussing the possibility of an 8% raise for elected officials during a July 13th meeting, Midland County Commissioners Monday opted not to approve the salary increases, citing the economic downturn. Some elected officials asked for the raises July 13th, saying the request was to put officials on equal footing with non-elected employees who received 8% raises in September 2019. Elected officials were given a one-time $2,000 bonus at that time. "There is nothing fair or equitable in this, and they, elected officials, have a right to be angry and frustrated," Commissioner Scott Ramsey said during Monday's meeting. However, he and other members of the Commissioner's Court said an economic downturn was not the right time to approve salary increases, while about 10% of Midlanders were unemployed. Commissioner Luis Sanchez said he felt elected officials, which include the county treasurer, attorney, district clerk, and dozens of others, were deserving of raises, but he disagreed with approving raises while many are losing their jobs or having their hours cut. I cannot in good conscience be in favor of approving an 8% raise for anyone, he said. Sanchez said he would also be requesting an end to the 4% raises county employees automatically receive every other year, which would save the county about $500,000 annually. Commissioner Robin Donnelly made a motion to continue the $2,000 bonuses for elected officials this year, so officials would not experience a salary reduction, but the motion failed for a lack of a second. The other commissioners expressed concern about continuing what was meant as a one-time stipend. Additionally, the commissioners' court heard a presentation on Monday from Dr. Richard Bartlett, an Odessa family physician who has claimed to have found a cure for COVID-19. County Judge Terry Johnson and Commissioner Randy Prude previously told the Reporter-Telegram Bartlett was given the opportunity to speak to give him a platform to present his findings. Ramsey said Monday he did not believe a government meeting was the appropriate forum for Bartlett to give a presentation. Presidential visit. Craddock says Trump's commitment to energy will be on display. By Stuart Doreen. State Representative Tom Craddock said President Donald Trump will unveil parts of a plan that will demonstrate commitment to a recovery in Texas and across all energy-producing markets. In an opinion article that will appear in Wednesday's Reporter-Telegram, Craddock said that commitment includes incentivizing funding for energy producers. The president also will discuss cutting regulations and streamlining permits, Craddock wrote. Each of these demonstrate his commitment to a recovery in Texas and across all energy-producing markets, according to the former Texas Speaker of the House. His commitment to ensuring the Permian Basin operators and producers are part of this energy recovery is unparalleled. The president is set to visit West Texas Wednesday for the first time during his presidency. His trip is expected to include a visit to a Double Eagle Energy in Midland and a tour of a rig. He also will travel to Odessa for a fundraiser, which includes a $2,800 a plate luncheon. What does this mean for West Texas? It means new jobs, old jobs coming back, increased wages, more money for health care and education, and so much more, Craddock wrote. President Trump's commitment to making West Texas a great place to live and work will be evident today when he opens the door of energy business. He is committed to making sure we do not ever see a market swing like we experienced in March of this year. He is committed to making sure Texans and energy producers can spend their time doing what they know best, working. Most of all, he is committed to making sure the American dream is attainable by all Americans. Jobs in the energy industry are certainly a part of the American dream. Local Democrats holding events to counterbalance Trump's visit. By Caitlin Randall. Instead of organizing protests, local Democratic Party leaders said they are holding events to offer productive alternatives to President Donald Trump's visit to the Permian Basin this week, including a voter registration drive and a parade to distribute Democratic signage. The Ector County Democratic Party is hosting a voter registration drive at their headquarters Wednesday afternoon, the day Trump will visit a rig in Midland and attend a luncheon in Odessa, according to Chair-elect Hannah Horak. The goal really is to offer something productive for folks, something where they can show up and accomplish something by being there, she said. They opted not to organize a protest because of coronavirus concerns, she said, adding that Donald Trump is not worth getting sick over. Residents of both Ector and Midland counties will be able to register during the event, which will be socially distanced, Horak said. Midland County Democrats will be holding a parade to distribute yard signs for presidential nominee Joe Biden and District 11 congressional candidate John Mark Hogg, according to Chair Kathy Broderick. The parade will take place tonight, beginning at the Midland County Democratic headquarters and passing by Washington Park and several residential streets, she said. She said it's meant to counterbalance Trump's visit. Horick said she felt it was in poor taste for the president to fundraise in Odessa while the unemployment rate is at 13%, the highest in Texas. Frankly, we're seeing people lose jobs in the energy industry and in service industries. Our restaurants are struggling, and people across the board are trying to navigate what to do with their children when school comes back next month. And the president's coming and having a fundraising luncheon to make money off the Permian Basin. And I think it's gross, she said. Broderick said she hopes Trump will use the visit to address the ongoing oil downturn and coronavirus pandemic and offer solutions. I would like for him to speak to how actually he's going to help us, she said. Oil is so cheap right now, and that impacts all of us. It impacts me. Abhi Raman, communications director for the Texas Democratic Party, said it was dangerous for Trump to hold events in Texas while coronavirus cases continue to spike, but it's not surprising. It's completely reckless, he said. It shows where Donald Trump's priorities lie. Raman speculated Trump is visiting West Texas because of fear he's losing ground amid frustrations surrounding the pandemic in a state that supported U.S. Senator Ted Cruz during the 2016 primaries. Texans don't like Donald Trump. They never have, he said. Trump knows he's vulnerable here, and that's why he's visited Texas, the second most out of any state in the country. More information on the Ector County and Midland County Democratic Party events can be found on both groups' Facebook pages. Ector County Democratic Party Registration Drive, Party Headquarters, 4 to 7 p.m. Midland County Democratic Party Sign Parade begins at Party Headquarters at 6:30 p.m. Horseshoe to be voting location for November election by Caitlin Randall. The Horseshoe Complex will be an additional voting location on Election Day in November. Midland County Commissioners approved the new location during Monday's Commissioners Court meeting. Elections Administrator Carolyn Graves told the court the space was needed because of social distancing requirements amid the coronavirus pandemic. By the time you social distance the machines and you add the workers in there, that limits the number of voters you can allow in a location, she said. For example, 15 machines can normally fit in the annex building, she said, but with social distancing restrictions, that location can accommodate only 8 machines this year. That means I'm going to have a lot fewer machines in the different locations, she said. I'm asking for that reason to use whatever is available in November. November's ballot will also be a long one with several items to vote on, including a presidential election. Graves estimated each voter will spend about 15 minutes filling out a ballot, leading to long lines unless more locations are added. Voting will be available in the backstage room of the Horseshoe on Election Day. The location will not be open for early voting. Midland's weekly cases top 400 for first time by Stuart Doreen. The Midland Health Department reported more than 400 weekly cases for the first time during the pandemic and a 24.77% increase in the number of cases compared to the previous record total. There were 418 cases last week, which was 135 more than the previous week and 83 more than the previous record week. including an extra day of reporting because of the July 4th holiday. There was a 73% increase in recovered cases from 493 to 853. The number of recovered cases topped the number of those home isolating, 826. The total number of active cases finished the week at 919. The number of total cases during the pandemic reached 1,805. Virus case count on par with previous weekend by Stuart Doreen. The number of the coronavirus cases from the weekend fell a few short of 100 and was about 39 fewer than last week's total. The 96 cases pushed the total during the pandemic to 1,901. According to MRT Archives, the number of cases from the weekend was consistent with the weekend numbers going back to June 22nd. During those 6 weeks, the number of cases was between 88 and 96 four times. The other two times, the Midland Health Department reported 155 during a four-day weekend and 135 last week. Odessa Health Pros Plan for Looming Flu Season by J.C. Lewis. Odessa Regional Medical Center and Medical Health Center leaders are figuring out how to handle coronavirus and the cold and flu season that is coming up. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Saravanan said the hospital is unsure how other illnesses, such as the flu, will interact with the coronavirus. He said the flu could work with coronavirus to make people sicker, or the flu could work against the coronavirus, thereby canceling the effects. It's yet to be seen, he said. We are preparing for a potential surge. We are preparing like we would year after year. Medical Center Health System CEO and President Russell Tippin said they also have to think about the surrounding communities that count on us to take care of these extra sick ones, and that's COVID or flu. He said they will be preparing as usual with the possibility of there being an influx. Saravanan said that most testing for flu can be done in the hospital and doesn't need to be sent to laboratories, like the coronavirus tests have to be sent. He said that wearing masks and social distancing will be helpful in preventing the spread of the cold and flu. Tippin said MCH did not have any positive coronavirus cases reported through the emergency department for 24 hours over the weekend. MCH System Monday reported its 30th and 31st coronavirus-related deaths. The 30th patient was a 72-year-old woman from Andrews who died Friday. She was admitted to the hospital July 7th. The 31st patient was an 81-year-old woman from Odessa who died Sunday. She was admitted to MCH July 5th. Both women had pre-existing conditions, according to a press release. Coronavirus stats. Medical Center Hospital, 1,007 positive results, 36 coronavirus patients at MCH, 26 patients on isolation floors, 10 patients in CCU with 6 patients on ventilators, 5 patients from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, 3 from Andrews, 4 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Stanton, 1 from Alpine, and 1 from Pecos. Odessa Regional Medical Center, 317 positive results, 10 pending tests, 16 patients with 6 on ventilators, 1 from Courtyard Assisted Living, 1 from Reeves County, 1 from Permian Regional Medical Center, 1 from Big Bend Regional Medical Center, and 1 from Scenic Mountain. 3 deaths over the weekend. Ector County, 5 deaths over the weekend.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, July 28, 2020. Centennial Construction. Construction continued Monday on the outdoor amphitheater at Centennial Park in downtown Midland. Meeting today, City Council, 10 a.m., Council Chambers, City Hall, 300 North Lorraine Street. Go to the city's website for more information on how to watch online. Doug Russell Pool is open today. The city's pools, Doug Russell and Washington Family Aquatic Center, are open on alternating days during coronavirus pandemic. Doug Russell is open today for 2 3-hour sessions, noon to 3 p.m. and 4 to 7 p.m. Passes are $3 and go on sale at the pool 30 minutes before opening. Passes are good only for the day of purchase. MCPL to host Magic Show at Horseshoe. Midland County Public Library is hosting Harlan Rhodes, Magic by Harlan, 11 a.m. and 2 p.m. Wednesday at the Horseshoe Education Room, located behind the large metal sculpture of a horseshoe. The event is free and open to the public. Masks are required, and the room will be set up to promote social distancing, according to a press release from MCPL. Children participating in the library's summer reading program through readsquared.com will find a special code posted at the event to add to their reading points. Magic by Harlan is made possible by Midland County Public Library Foundation and Midland Friends of Libraries and Literacy. Bush Home seeks volunteers. George W. Bush Childhood Home is looking for student volunteers and tour guides. Contact Jacqueline Wolf, 685-1112, or gwbhome@bushchildhoodhome.org. Recording Library of West Texas needs male volunteers, male voices, and volunteers to record audiobooks at home. Contact Cindy, 682-2731, or cindy@recordinglibrary.org. Make-A-Wish North Texas needs development intern and wish grantors, bilingual grantor. Contact Jennifer Foman, 214-496-5057, or volunteer@ntx.wish.org. I-20 Wildlife Preserve and Jenna Welch Nature Study Center needs volunteers for land management, work days, and education docent, bilingual docent. Contact Kristen Betton, 853-9453, or Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, at i20wp.org. Clinics offer coronavirus tests. Midland Memorial Hospital, 68 Nurse, MidlandHealth.org. Mobile testing center at West Campus for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR. Must call for appointment. Antibody testing at West Campus or Main Campus Direct Access, 68 Nurse or 221-1111. Cash price for antibody testing, $50. Signature Care, 699-2601. ercare24.com/Midland. Cash price for COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for antibody test, visit plus test, $175. Cash price for both COVID-19 nasal swab, PCR, and antibody, $300. If patients are insured, we'll need to pay copay. Rest will be billed to insurance. Copay waived for first responders. West Tex Urgent Care, 3401 Greenbrier Drive, 201-1403. WestTexUrgentCare.com. Cash price for virtual visit for COVID-19, $75. Cash price for nasal swab PCR test, $70. Cash price for COVID-19 antibody test, $50. All COVID testing must begin with a virtual visit. Steward Medical Group COVID-19 Testing. Swab tests by appointment only. Complete Care Midland, 1701 North Loop 250 West, Midland, 522-5033. Today in History. Today is Tuesday, July 28, the 210th day of 2020. There are 156 days left in the year. On this date, in 1943, President Franklin D. Roosevelt announced the end of coffee rationing, which had limited people to 1 pound of coffee every 5 weeks since it began in November 1942. In 1945, a U.S. Army bomber crashed into the 79th floor of New York's Empire State Building, killing 14 people. In 1984, the Los Angeles Summer Olympics opened. 5 years ago, it was announced that Jonathan Pollard, the former U.S. Naval Intelligence Analyst, who had spent nearly three decades in prison for spying for Israel, had been granted parole. In a case that outraged animal lovers, Zimbabwean police said they were searching for an American who had shot and killed a well-known protected lion known as Cecil during a bow hunt. Walter Palmer, a Minnesota dentist, issued a statement saying he thought everything about his trip was legal. Officials in Zimbabwe later said Palmer had not broken the country's hunting laws.
Obituaries for Tuesday, July 28th. Billy Leonard McCarty. Billy Leonard, Bill McCarty, passed away Wednesday, July 15th after a brief illness at his home in Golson. He was born March 14th, 1947 in Muleshoe to Wiley Felix McCarty and Ollie Thelma Carr McCarty. He married Clara Elizabeth Chu and in 1967 in Odessa. Bill is preceded in death by his parents, Wiley Felix McCarty and Ollie Thelma Carr McCarty. His siblings, Wayland Franklin, Perry Joseph, Autry Duane McCarty. Half-siblings, Lillian Fern, Eddie LaVia, LaVeda Odessa, Lauren Melton, Herbert Lee, Maggie Pearl, Felix Nelson, and Clayton M. Edmonds McCarty. He is survived by Clara, his wife, and their three children, Nolan Matthew McCarty of Princeton, New Jersey, Nathan Anthony and wife Karen Okamoto McCarty of Pleasanton, California, and Anson Charles McCarty of Odessa. Four grandchildren, brother-in-law and sister-in-law Jim and Peggy Chu, daughter-in-law Janice Davis, as well as several nieces and nephews. Due to pandemic conditions, a private graveside service will be held at 9 a.m. Wednesday, July 29th at Sunset Memorial Gardens under the leading of Joe McCarty. In lieu of flowers, please contribute to the American Heart Association. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guest book at www.sunsetodessa.com. Harriet June Jane Whiting. Harriet Jane Whiting, 96, of Midland, passed away Friday, July 24th. A memorial service will be held at 10 a.m. Wednesday, July 29th at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel. She was born July 17th, 1924 in Ames, Iowa, to Maria Jongward Johns and Irwin William Johns. She married Richard V. Whiting in 1950. Harriet is preceded in death by her husband, Richard V. Whiting, and a brother, William Johns, M.D. She is survived by her son, Kenneth Whiting, and wife, Deborah, son, Douglas Whiting, six grandchildren, and four great-grandchildren. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorials to the Lutheran Church of the Risen Lord in Odessa. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Anderson Hutto. Mary Anderson Hutto was born June 7th, 1954, and passed away July 24th. She was raised on the Muleshoe Ranch in Borden County. Mary is survived by her son, Sergeant Thomas William Hutto, U.S. Army, and his wife, Jennifer. Her survivors also include her father, John Richard Anderson, siblings Sally Anderson Bland, John Robert and Keva Anderson, and Bert and Martha Anderson Riston. She is survived by one grandchild and numerous nieces, nephews, great-nephews, and great-nieces and cousins. She was preceded in death by her mother, Barbara Clayton Anderson. A private graveside service will be held at the Muleshoe Ranch Cemetery. The family will receive friends from 5:30 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, July 28th at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home in Big Spring. Memorial contributions may be given to Midland Community Theater, Haley Memorial Library and History Center, and Christ Church Anglican. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Priscilla Evinger Pipkin. Priscilla Evinger Pipkin passed away July 19th at her home in Flint after battling cancer. She is preceded in death by her husband, Leonard W. Pipkin, and her parents, Juanita and Ernest Evinger. She was born in Odessa March 10th, 1947. She is survived by her children, Kim, Len, and Sam, son-in-law, Kurt, and six grandchildren. Due to COVID, there will be a private online service. Please make any memorials to the SPCA of East Texas or your local pet adoption organization. Death notices. Barbara Smith. Funeral service for Barbara Smith, 76, of Midland, are pending at Jackie Warren Funeral Home. She died July 24th at a local hospital. Billy G. Jefferson. Funeral services for Billy G. Jefferson, 81, of Midland, are pending at Jackie Warren Funeral Home. He died July 25th at a local hospital. Charlie Clark. Charlie Clark, 37, of Midland, passed away July 23rd. A memorial service will be held at 1 p.m. Saturday, August 1st at Nally Picklin Welch Funeral Home Chapel in Midland. Survivors include his wife, Casey Clark, and his three children, Eleni, Peyton, and Sydney. Ramon Martinez. Ramon Martinez, 74, of Midland, passed away July 23rd. Funeral Mass was held Tuesday, July 28th at Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish and Shrine under the direction of Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. He is survived by his wife, Elva Franco Martinez, three sons, Juan V. Rodriguez, Juan Javier Rodriguez, Jose Alfredo Rodriguez, and Santo Angel Rodriguez. Eight daughters, Maria Teresa Rodriguez, Maria Virginia Ramirez, Rosa Clara Rodriguez, Augustina Rodriguez, Susana Rodriguez, Maria Regina Rodriguez, Bibiana Patricia Rodriguez, and Fidencia Guadalupe Aguilar. 37 grandchildren, and numerous great-grandchildren, nephews, nieces, and cousins.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, July 28th, 2020. Front page. Commissioners talk budget. Hayes plan airs for the first time today. OA News at OAOA.com. Ector County Commissioners today will receive Judge Debbie Hayes' proposed 2020-21 budget and discuss their August schedule for writing the next fiscal year's spending and revenues plan. With the new fiscal year starting October 1st, the court is bracing for much tighter finances because the COVID-19 pandemic will lower revenues, commissioners have said. However, the county's 2019-20 expenditures of $65.6 million were covered and no adjustments were required other than a hiring freeze. The current year's schedule represents a $1.5 million increase over 2018-19. In other business, the commissioners will hear the latest reports about the pandemic and discuss enacting a joint resolution with the City of Odessa to hold the November 3rd general election, set a December runoff date, consider a notice of election, appoint early voting clerks, set the early voting schedule, and designate Election Day voting centers. The court will also consider applying for unclaimed property capital credits, review specifications for departmental uniforms with Lucy Soto of the Purchasing Department, discuss a performance contract with Johnson Controls to regulate heating and cooling in county buildings with Maintenance Director Charles Pierce, consider hiring an assistant purchasing agent, review a $3,200 budget amendment to cover the burials of indigent people with Auditor Randy Donner, consider a $15,000 budget amendment for medical commitments, discuss a $20,000 line item transfer for self-funded liability claims settlements, review an $865 line item transfer for furniture in 70th District Court. 5 deaths reported over weekend. Michael Merlo, M-M-E-R-L-O at OAOA.com. County Commissioner Eddie Shelton said that there were 5 COVID-19 related deaths over the weekend, and all of the patients were around 70 years old or older. Medical Center Hospital reported 2 of the COVID-19 related deaths, one on Friday and one on Sunday, while Odessa Regional Medical Center President Stacy Brown said that 3 COVID-19 patients also died over the weekend during Monday's COVID-19 hospital briefing. The Ector County Health Department did not update the county numbers by press time. MCH President and CEO Russell Tippin said that Sunday, MCH went 24 hours without a positive COVID-19 test in the emergency room. "We actually went a whole day without a positive test through the ED, and I think that is very, very interesting that that had happened," he said. He added that last Friday, there were around 50 in-hospital patients. Tippin reported that out of 1,007 positive cases, 36 COVID-19 patients are in the hospital, 15 are on the 7th isolation floor, and 11 are on the 8th isolation floor. 10 patients are in critical care unit, and 6 of them are on ventilators, he said. In-hospital patients include 5 from Siena Nursing and Rehabilitation, 3 from Andrews, 4 from Fort Stockton, 1 from Stanton, 1 from Alpine, and 1 from Pecos. Tippin said that no persons under investigation are in the hospital, and 138 tests are pending. Brown reported that out of 1,670 tests at ORMC, 317 are positive, 10 are pending, 16 patients are in the hospital, and 6 are on ventilators. 11 patients are from home. 1 is from Courtyard Assisted Living. 1 is from Reeves County. 1 is from Big Bend. 1 from Permian Regional. And 1 is from Scenic Mountain, she said. "We're definitely getting the results back quicker than we were at the first of the month," she said. Brown said that the 3 ORMC patients who died from COVID-19 complications over the weekend were Odessa or Ector County residents. ORMC Chief Medical Officer Dr. Rohit Sarvanan spoke about the upcoming flu season during the briefing. "We don't know how the other upper respiratory illnesses are going to interact with the COVID virus. It could be synergistic, which means they work together to make things worse, or it could be antagonistic, which means one takes away from the effect of the other. We don't know. This is our first time, our first season for us to go through this. We are preparing for a potential surge," he said. In other COVID-19 news, a free city COVID-19 mobile testing will take place from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Tuesday for Odessa and Ector County residents at Slater Park. The parking lot will reportedly open at 7 a.m. For more information, call 432-582-7969 or visit the City Mobile Testing website at https://tinyurl.com/y8a8hz8r. Registration Roadshow. There's a photo of two ladies looking at a computer screen, both wearing their face masks. Helping a parent with their online registration, Robin Garcia sits at a laptop to walk a parent through the process of registering their kids for classes at ECISD's first day of their registration roadshow, Monday morning. Classes start August 12th for ECISD, and registration is required for all students, whether they are sending their kids to campus or staying at home for remote learning. Ben Powell, Odessa American. ECISD hosts first registration roadshow by Ruth Campbell, RCAMPBELL at OAOA.com. Ector County ISD held the first day of its registration roadshow Monday to help parents get their students signed up for classes. School starts for all ECISD students August 12th. A news release said registering for school is required whether a family is considering sending kids to school on campus or staying at home for remote learning. A colorful ECISD bus was set up in the parking lot at Music City Mall between Rosa's and Fazoli's restaurants. Online registration portal has been open since May, but many families do not have reliable internet to complete the forms that way. The roadshow lasts through July 31st. Today, July 28th, buses will be in the Music City Mall parking lot behind Rosa's and Fazoli's and Medical Center Hospital, ProCare Clinic, 6030 West University Boulevard, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Wednesday, buses will be at 1220 Adams Avenue, Village Place Apartments in the middle of the property near the alley, and Horse Center, 2400 South Moss Avenue, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. July 30th, buses will be the same locations, 1220 Adams Avenue and 2400 South Moss Avenue, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On July 31st, buses will be at Wilson's Corner, 16514 U.S. Highway 385 and Tall City Well Service, 6001 U.S. 35, 385, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Hours are the same for both locations. Robin Garcia, newly minted Executive Director for Student and School Support, said they are working with the transfer office and the school nutrition staff is on hand to help parents fill out the free and reduced lunch applications, and there is help available for parents to register their students on the district's parent portal. The roadshow is aimed at people who may not have computers at home or their internet isn't the best. If they have questions or concerns, we can help them that way, Garcia said. When parents come to the roadshow sites, they pick up a number and wait until it is called. We are a little slow today. This is our first day, so hopefully by Friday we'll have everything down. But we're also having parents fill out a survey as well, and the survey's just giving us more information about whether parents want to have their children do remote learning, come to school for face-to-face learning, or participate in hybrid learning, where some learning is at school and some at home over the computer. We have had a really good turnout early this morning, so we're happy about that. We just need to get our computers up and going, and then we'll be able to help our parents more effectively, Garcia said. Keeping socially distanced and wearing masks or waiting in their cars, parents and students waited patiently for their turn. Ashley and Blake Sikora were registering their kindergarten student. Ashley is an ECISD employee, but lives in Midland, so the system automatically generates an address for ECISD when she registers. She couldn't put in her Midland address, so she went to the registration event. It's been a rocky start, but hopefully it gets a little faster. We expect hiccups, but hopefully it starts to pick up, Ashley Sikora said. Judy Armendariz said she could register online, but she doesn't have a printer and didn't know if those copies would be needed. She thought having the roadshow was beneficial because not everyone has internet access. Diego Ramirez is going to be a senior at Permian High School this year, so he was at the site to register for his senior classes. The parent portal wasn't working, so I just had to come over here. I think it's good that they're offering it for everyone else, not just for individuals. It's great that they're expanding it to everyone else, Ramirez said. Rachel Lundy, who was registering 3 children, said having the event was helpful because not everybody has access to computers or the internet. Then the ones that do, sometimes there's stuff that comes up. Things go wrong, and it's better to help them in person than to try to do it over the phone. Yaneth Morales was signing up 1 child. It's a good idea because sometimes some people don't have the computers or the scanners to scan what they're needing. I've had difficulty logging in, you know what I mean, so that's why I'm here today, Morales said. She added that it was a little bit disorganized, but it was the first day. It will get better. I just wanted to get it done soon, Morales said. ECISD registration roadshow stops. The Ector County Independent School District has scheduled registration roadshow stops this week. Registration is required for children for either on-campus or remote learning. Today, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., Bus 1 at Music City Mall parking lot on the side behind Rosa's Cafe and Fazoli's. Bus 2 at Medical Center Hospital ProCare Clinic, 6030 West University Boulevard. Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., Bus 1 at Village Place Apartments, 1220 Adams Avenue, in the middle of the property near the alley. Bus 2 at Horse Center, 2400 South Moss Avenue. Thursday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., Bus 1 at Village Place Apartments, 1220 Adams Avenue, in the middle of the property near the alley. Bus 2 at Horse Center, 2400 South Moss Avenue. Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Bus 1 at Wilson's Corner, 16514 U.S. 385. Bus 2 at Tall City Well Service, 6001 U.S. 385. Call 456-0000 or visit www.facebook.com/ Ector County ISD. From Staff Reports. COVID-19 news by the numbers. Ector County total cases, both confirmed and probable, 2,819. Ector County negative, 11,344 out of 14,734 tested, with 571 pending, 35 deaths. Recovered, 1,800. Active, 984. Midland County, 1,805 confirmed cases with 35 deaths. Texas, 385,923 confirmed with 3,428,882 tested. Total Texas deaths, 5,713. U.S. cases, 4,225,687 total confirmed and 146,546 deaths. Find out more at co.ector.tx.us or dshs.state.tx.us or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. Quick hits. Free COVID-19 testing. The City of Odessa has scheduled free mobile COVID-19 testing this month at the following dates, times, and locations. Today, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Slater Park, 1001 West 38th Street. Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Dan Hemp Hill Central Park, 1201 East 13th Street. Only 200 tests will be administered at each event. The parking lot will open up at 7 a.m. Participants must remain in their vehicle with the window up until a testing team member approaches you. Bring ID. No appointments or pre-registration required. Children ages 3 and up if child is cooperative. Closing prices. Posted $38. Futures $41.60. Natural gas $1.734. Benchmark U.S. rose 31 cents to $41.60 per barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.